According to his promise, we are looking for new heavens and a new earth in which righteousness dwells. Therefore, beloved, since you look for these things, be diligent to be found by him in peace, spotless and blameless, and grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. We are here this evening for the purpose of growth. We're going to start with our normal Wednesday night question and answer session, which normally is our first 10 minutes or 15 minutes. We'll take 15 minutes for that tonight, and then the remainder of the hour actually is going to be given over to Casey Williams, who will be reporting on last week's activities in Arizona. As they Casey and Fallon took two of our teenagers out there and took part in the Arizona youth camp, and he's got a slideshow ready to go and a DVD to show and things like that, so it'll be a good report. It'll be an encouraging report, fully consistent with what we've been studying in the greetings passage of 1 Corinthians 16, so I look forward to that this evening. We should start, though, with silent prayer, making sure that each one of us is indeed under the filling of the Holy Spirit and prepared to receive the Word of God. Shall we pray? Dear Heavenly Father, we do thank you for the truth of your Word, and we thank you for your faithfulness to guide us into the truth. I thank you for a lampstand of believers that are dedicated to the study of your word, line upon line, precept upon precept, here a little, there a little. And Father, it is a blessing. I thank you tonight that we have a report from Arizona and the encouragement, Father, from other ministries similar to this one and yet active in different realms of service. And I look forward to the good report that we're going to receive. And we thank you for Casey and Fallon and for their willingness to lead that trip. And we're just eager to hear the good report tonight. Father, we commit to you our time of study, the questions that are asked, and the answers that are given, that all things might be done for the glory of your Son, our Savior Jesus Christ, in whose name we pray. Amen. All right, who is our microphone runner tonight? There he is, Christopher, ready to go. All right, who wants the lead-off question? Mrs. Anderson. Good idea. We'll go alphabetically tonight, from Anderson to Zeller. We'll just work our way around the room. All right, there we go.
This seems like kind of a simple one, but...
Oh, good.
My question is what are angelic majesties found in 2 Peter 2 and I think Jude 8? It says the phrase is to revile angelic majesties.
Mm-hmm. The specific term for majesty, 2 Peter 2, do you have the verse? There it is, verse 10. Mm-hmm. And I have never taught 2 Peter word for word. Majesties is just the word for glory. It's right here, doxa. And they do not tremble to blaspheme doxas, glories. It's a word for glory. It's a term that references the estate of the angelic realm as being above the human realm. Remember, when Christ lowered himself, he lowered himself lower than the angels, became for a little while lower than the angels to occupy the realm of humanity. And doxa is, it's really our standard word for glory, like the glory of God. But I think in that application, it's stressing the fact that these false teachers, such is their arrogance, such is their insanity, that they'll even defile the glories that are mightier than they. And it's it's 2 Peter 2 and also the book of Jude that highlights the same thing.
And so these are not fallen angels then. These are just...
Probably both. Uh-huh. Elect and fallen. That's right. Yeah, I think that they reject the elect angels and then they mock... I find it interesting, false teachers and so forth, even the ones that are tools of fallen angels and demons, they I don't think they fully appreciate what they're messing with. And if they really did, they would truly be trembling before the demonic powers that they're making use of. Yeah, that's something I thought about over some time now. All right, good question. What else tonight? What else is on your mind? All right, back row, Mr. Clark.
Matthew 11:14 Could you explain that verse to me?
Maybe. Matthew 11, 19?
14.
14. If you are willing to accept it. That's a fascinating phrase. John himself is Elijah who was to come. Elijah is still coming. He is the forerunner for the second advent of Jesus Christ. But depending on how you look at it, or if you care to accept it, he already has come. He has come in the person of John the Baptist, who came in the spirit and the power of Elijah. One thing we want to keep in mind, of course, is that our perspective on the two advents of Jesus Christ is a church age perspective that has the hindsight of the first advent rejection that had, in the what ifs of God's plan, if they had not rejected their Christ, then first advent would be the advent, the one coming. But as it is now, we know that they rejected him. He was crucified. He ascended to his Father and is now awaiting a second coming. So we're in between the two. That gives us the perspective to look back to first advent and look forward to second advent. From the Old Testament perspective of the prophets all looking forward, they didn't have a clear division between two separate comings. And so the promised forerunner, we now know, is still future, yet to come, Elijah in the tribulational age. But in a way, he already has come. And that's what he's saying there.
Thank you.
Uh-huh. All right. Outstanding questions. All right. Luke gets our next question. Mr. Zeller, right up here.
In 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11, that's a two-part question. In chapter 10, make certain about his calling, a little unclear on that. And then also chapter 11, for in this way the entrance into his eternal kingdom abundantly supplied. What's the significance?
I've never taught 2 Peter. The let me jot a note down here. Because there's a good way to explain it, and I don't know. Oh. I clicked the wrong button, which is something I did like 50 times this morning, so that doesn't surprise me any. 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 10 and 11. Okay. What I had intended to do was to select that one. There we go. What I'm going to do is I'm going to bookmark these verses and have an answer prepared for next week. When it comes to working out our salvation with fear and trembling, let me add a note to question and answer night. Boom. And I'll color it red so it gets my attention during the week. There we go. When it comes to working out our salvation with fear and trembling, making certain about his calling and choosing of you and so forth, it's a passage that people don't handle well. And when they don't handle it well, it promotes confusion. And so that's why I want to be careful I don't give an incomplete answer this morning or this evening or an insufficient answer this evening. So if you'll allow me, I'll put that on hold and we'll answer that next week. Remember, you can ask anything you like. I'm not promising answers tonight. All right. What else? It may very well be that when Robert Jewell gets out of prison, that he may be teaching a book. He's been studying 2 Peter now and teaching it with his fellow inmates there. And I'd be real eager to see how he teaches it when he gets either on parole or when he gets free and clear out of prison. That'd be a blessing for us. All right. Anything else tonight? We've got 5 minutes remaining. Anything not from 2 Peter? All right. Back here, Mrs. King. Row behind you there. Miss King, right there.
A couple weeks ago, you mentioned, talking about Alexander the Great, that he perhaps was a Nephilim.
Uh-huh.
And I thought they were destroyed in the flood.
They were destroyed at the flood. The ones that were alive at the flood. In Genesis 6:4, the Nephilim were on the earth in those days, and also afterward. And that is so important. A lot of people ignore that. They were on the earth in those days. So all the Nephilim that were on the earth in those days, and of course the flood comes and they're all dead. Bodies physically killed. But then also afterward. You're like, well, golly, how'd they show back up again? Right? Well, I thought the flood killed them all. Well, this then explains when the sons of God, those are angelic beings, fallen angels, came into the daughters of men, human women, and they bore children to them. And so this process of angelic crossbreeding with the fallen angels and the human women and so forth, it was done before the flood and then again after the flood. That's why there's giants that have populated the land during the bondage in Egypt, and why when Joshua led them into the land, you had Nephilim in the land. So the references to Nephilim in Numbers and Deuteronomy, Numbers 13:33, the sons of Anak are part of the Nephilim. By this time, there are terms for Nephilim in different languages, including Anakim, Emim, Zanzumim, other terms for these giant beings that make us look like grasshoppers in their sight. And they are the offspring of fallen angel fathers and human mothers. So you have that phrase, in those days and also afterward. That's a big clue there in Genesis 6:4. And that's why I speculate in terms of Alexander. The strength that he had, the feats of speed, he outran horses, and there's just a lot of things. And he viewed himself as being the son of Zeus, being the son of a god. Whether he was or not, I guess we'll find out when we get there. He was demoniac, and I have no question on that. But whether he was an actual Nephilim, who knows?
How long afterward does that reference to? I mean, does that end with the birth of Christ, or?
I believe the Antichrist and the tribulation will be Nephilim. Yeah. Stay tuned for advanced angelology, because 2 Corinthians is full of angelology. We struggle. We have weapons of our warfare for the left hand and for the right, that for the destruction of fortresses. The thorn in the flesh is an angelic conflict passage in chapter 12. You've got Satan, who disguises himself as an angel of light. You also have the god of this age, who blinds the minds of the unbelieving, that they might not see the light of the gospel, the glory of Jesus Christ. That's 2 Corinthians 4:4. We got 13 chapters coming up in 2 Corinthians, and we are close, by the way, to some of the deacons were hoping I'd wrap up 1 Corinthians after the 665th lesson. But we've got a couple more, and we'll wrap that up. And then we'll move on into 2 Corinthians. And, you know, we've been 5 years, 6 years in 1 Corinthians study, and probably 4 or 5 years it will take for 2 Corinthians. But that's a book that's going to have an in-depth angelology. So stay tuned. That's something we've been discussing for some time now, and that will come up in 2 Corinthians. All right. Well, we have a slideshow ready to go, and I'll have KC come forward to... I just exited this Bible software, so hope you don't need it. Just one thing about these camps. I've never went to any of these. When I was growing up, they didn't exist. And I remember I left... I joined the Army in 1987, and I'm overseas, and I'd get letters. Did you ever go to any of these youth camps? I'd get letters from Elizabeth, my sister, about these camps, these church camps. I didn't know what she was talking about. I say, what are you talking about? We don't do youth camp. Come on, we're a doctrinal church. We don't have youth camp. What are you talking about? Church camp? She said, yeah. Ranger Gary Horton's doing these. Oh, really? Okay, well, I know who Ranger Gary Horton is, but I didn't know anything about these camps. And so I came back from overseas and found out that they'd actually got started and then sprang up in all kinds of places around the country. Pennsylvania, Iowa, Arkansas, Alabama, where they got started, and then ultimately Washington State and Arizona. And so they would kind of make a circuit around with Gene Cunningham and Gary Horton, Chuck Farmer. He's not on this planet anymore. He's with the Lord now, but he used to do all these and several others. So anyway, I've learned more and more about them in recent years. I've still never attended one, and we had the blessing this year to be able to take part and participate in that. So KC, would you come and share with us what you learned and some of the blessings of what took place?
Andrew, put one of these on the floor. Am I on?
Oh, yeah.
Check. Okay. So if you can't tell from the picture, as we advertised, it was near Phoenix. It wasn't that close to Phoenix. If anyone had any worries about the weather, it was very cool at night. But that wasn't the best part about the camp. The best part was that 9 young people came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. And it really happened within the first 2 days of camp. They laid the gospel out clearly every time there was someone standing up and teaching and speaking, whether it was at a flagpole or in a Bible class session or just in the cabins. It was really great. Before I do the slideshow, I had a couple of videos to show you off of a DVD they gave us at the end of camp. The first one.
They say you're not going to show the tear jerker.
Yeah, I am. The first video here is with Buck Hoskin, who's the associate pastor, as you'll find out, at Westside Bible Church. And some of the video clips are actually from the Alabama camp in this first segment.
Hi, I'm Buck Hoskin. I'm the associate pastor of Westside Bible Church. They make me do a lot of stuff at this camp. I mean, they work my fingers to the bone and they don't pay me a dime. So help me out. If you can become complete in Christ, then maybe I won't have to do so much. Check out some of these things I do. Were you just walking down the street and then all of a sudden a rock hit you in the face? Well, why is your skin that weak? Why did you come to camp with a weak face? Answer me! You need a face that's tough. You need a face like these clay boys right here. They got tough faces. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I baptize you. Is that good?
Let me begin. I came to win. Battle me, that's a sin. I won't ever suck up. Don't give it a back up. Try and play the role and you're the whole
world. All right, lay down on your back. Let's go. I'm gonna rest a little bit. Legs, 6 inches. 6 inches, let's go. That ain't 6 inches. 1, 2, 3. Hey, get your legs off the ground, man. You guys are wimps.
Yeah.
But Carol, if you're that slow again, you're gonna run by yourself. You understand me? Hup!
Jump around. Hup, jump around. Jump around.
Did you like those things I do? Well, guess what? I'm here to make you complete in Christ. You know how I'm going to do that? Making sure your butt doesn't go to hell.
I know. So Buck connects really well with the young people. He has a lot of fun with them. This next segment, there isn't a lot to it. It's just a presentation of kind of who Gary Horton is. There's a lot of pictures floating around, not a lot of speaking, so it goes by kind of quick.
Listen up now. Listen to me. We're here to make a difference, not just make a living. I want you to leave a legacy. It belongs to all of us. I'm there, you be there. Looking forward to it. Hoo-ah. Leave a legacy. What a time to be alive. I don't know about you, but I'd rather die than apologize for what I believe.
Ranger Horton's kind of an intimidating guy, even for his age. On the last night, he did some training for the girls on how to protect themselves if they were ever assaulted, and he used me as an example. It was kind of scary. Every day, every full day of camp, we had 3 full days of camp, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Thursday. We got together in activity teams. We all had, I was an activity team leader, and there were 8 activity teams total, I believe. And we did a team game together to promote, you know, unity and the fact that we can't face anything in our life by ourselves. The first day we did dodgeball.
Oh,
Okay. This is something we can hike to from camp. The water was kind of cold. It was about like Barton Stream. That was all from the first day. The second day, we had more games that were more mental. They weren't as physical. After dodgeball, I was pretty worn out for the rest of the week. This next segment is from the game we played on the last full day we had on Thursday, a capture the flag game they have. Go ahead. Remember this first kid.
Capture flag is tripping people so you can get their flag and stuck their face in the ground so that you can disgrace their team and win.
Jay McGuire is an epitome.
David Wire was his father-in-law.
We don't just take the flags, we take the shirts, too. Yeah, that's for my team, Pink! Yeah!
Haley Hoskins, the new threat.
It's all about creativity and distracting the enemy.
Little kids are not going to be able to play this game.
So they're going to be spread out into your home base. Home base. Home base.
Now, you're going to see some of the home bases are sprayed, well, they're all sprayed with brown paint.
I think it's because we're all in the right house. Look at the upright.
Okay. So that game was fun, too. Now, on the very last night, Gary Horton was speaking in between some of the teaching in a video they showed, and he asked a question to the whole audience, how many of you want to reach people for Christ in your life? And I would ask the same question to y'all, how many of y'all want to reach Christ or reach others for Christ in your life? You know, the response was general, yeah, me, right? I imagine all you do. And he came up to one individual and said, well, do you think God would use you to reach 13.5 million people? And the person just kind of sat there. And then they rolled the next video, if you would, Cliff.
Well, they call him the Sky Angel Cowboy, the voice of a little boy who called a radio station to share a story and a lesson that God showed him, a message that has now captured the world's attention.
This is 13-year-old Logan Henderson. He lives on a ranch in the middle of Nebraska. Isolated from much of the world, he often listens to KSBJ Christian Radio out of Houston, Texas, which he picks up on Sky Angel. In late October, Logan made a call to the station that would soon be heard around the world.
Hey, Mike, can I talk to you?
You bet, Logan. What's up?
I want to tell you something that God just told me.
Okay.
Last night, my dad was roping this calf. And this calf had been born from a really old cow. She didn't have really the greatest milk. She didn't have, like, the vitamin C and stuff.
Okay.
She broke her back. And this morning I went out and put her down myself. I was talking to God. I was asking God why. She was special. And God said, you know, Logan, my son was special, but he died for a purpose. It's kind of the same thing. That calf was close to me, and God's son was close to him.
Logan, you're so right. It's true. Think you're going to be okay?
Yeah, I'll be fine. But I just wanted to tell you guys that that is so important. Just remember, when you lose a loved one or a pet, always remember that God gave his son too, and he understands. He will always understand. He will always just run to him.
Logan, you're wiser than you know, buddy.
Oh, I just figured I'd better call and share with you guys. Love you.
Love you too.
Bye.
Bye-bye.
KSBJ posted the conversation on their website.
The next thing we know, our listeners are sending it all over the world.
KSBJ says at least 13 million people have seen it on their website and millions more on YouTube and GodTube.
For some reason, the connection between God and his son dying and how God knows what it's like. That's what Logan said. He knows. Just run to him. That immediately took that gap away, and anything that was between them and God was completely erased.
Logan is here in Houston this week meeting the DJs, talking to some of his fans, and meeting many of the folks who've been so blessed by his message of God's love. Logan says he's living proof that God can use anybody.
God can use you even when you feel, you know, you feel low and you feel, oh, God's never going to use me. I'm just a piece of dirt. He'll actually use you, you know. You're not a piece of dirt to God, you're a piece of gold.
His parents, Mike and TJ, are in awe of what God is doing through their son.
We really knew that he had a gift for communication, and we knew that he was very familiar with God's word, and to see it come together like that is truly amazing.
Logan's fans include Christian rock group Third Day, who posted Logan's clip on their website. They're also Logan's favorite Christian band, and God brought them all together in Houston, where Third Day was performing. Logan says he loves life on the ranch, but also loves to encourage people and preach the gospel. One thing's for certain, the sky's the limit for this Sky Angel Cowboy.
Little Logan with a big heart. And if you'd like to hear the entire conversation, go to CBN.com where you will find a link to the Sky Angel Cowboy. You can also email Logan's message to your family and friends through CBN's Media Center. And Pat, I got to tell you, when they showed that clip to us in chapel, we were all just crying. We were so moved. We just had to meet him.
Well, Wendy, it's amazing. I mean, it brings tears to your eyes. That kid is just so touched by the Lord. And I mean, it was just a beautiful thing. You know, a cow has a broken back and they have to put it down. I mean, that was, you know, he lives on a farm and that's the way it is. But my goodness, that was
strong.
Well,
it isn't just his ability to communicate. I think it's the depth of his wisdom and how simple but profound it is and how he's able to express it.
All over the world, that message. And Wendy said you can get it through the CBN Media Center.
That's it for all the videos. But I thought that was really amazing. It was a phone call to a radio station and 13 million people. Well, you can see we had a lot of fun playing games and running around. The weather was amazing, unlike we kind of expected to be really hot and hot. the elevation was about 6,000 feet, so it was really nice and cool. We were wearing jackets every night and bundling up in our sleeping bags. The theme of the camp was the scripture. Colossians 2, verse 9 and 10. For in him all the fullness of deity dwells in bodily form, and in him you have been made complete, and he is the head over all rule and authority. And that's what they slammed into us every day. They had teaching in the morning from 10:30 till noon. They had teaching every evening from 6:30 till 8. And every morning around 7:45, they had a flag-raising ceremony where they taught a little bit about freedom, taught a little bit about patriotism and how Christ really paid for our freedom in the spiritual realm. And the same thing in the evening when we lowered the flag. So it was there was a lot of communication of truth, and it was really great. Not just giving the gospel, but you know, trying to slam it into these kids that were Christians, that when they get back to the real world, you know, if you don't take it into your mind and make it a huge part of your thinking in your regular life, that you are complete in Christ, and to keep your eyes fixed on the things above instead of the things below, that they're not going to really work with all that completion, and they're going to lack God's power for living and end up just like unbelievers. So it was a really great time. It was a really awesome thing to experience and be a part of. This first picture is kind of dark. It's just the sun rising up over the woods here where our cabins were on the boys' side. This is a picture of Buck and his wife, Heather. Fallon was in the cabin with Heather. Heather was a counselor. Fallon was just a fellow camper, really co-counselor with the young ladies in there. And they just make a great couple. They've got three young ones. You saw their boy had that comment about smashing the other team's faces in the dirt. That was a... That was their boy, Drew, and they have two daughters as well. And they were all at camp. Like he said, he's the associate pastor there in Phoenix and Glendale, and he goes on mission trips, and he does all four camps they do. They start off in Arkansas, they go to Alabama, then they do Arizona here, and this week they're doing Pennsylvania. They do four currently, and I'm sure they'd like to do more. That's just... don't have the opportunity right now. They had one, the most recent one I think they closed down was in Iowa, and they stopped doing that one a number of years ago. But it's really great to meet them, be encouraged by them. Here's Fallon with Heather outside the mess hall. This is the McGuire family, or a small portion of it. Dave was kind of the head administrator of the camp, organizing a lot of the events and kind of taking care of a lot of the details of it. He was also on my activity team, so we played games together. And his wife, Kim. They have 12 children. Their oldest son, Ryan, and one of their daughters, she's not the oldest daughter, Katie. One of them actually just got married to one of Gene Cunningham's children the Friday before camp. So two of their children have married two of the Cunningham children. It's kind of a linked family there. But they were great to get to know. Ryan was more of a senior counselor in my cabin. I was the younger of the two of us counselors. He's got three children. He's almost 30 years old. And it was real encouraging to get to know him. He's also a deacon at his church. And Dave McGuire's the chairman of the board for the deacons at Westside. So they're a great family. Here's Fallon and me and Gary Horton over here trying to sneak up on the picture with Gene and Ann Cunningham. And boy, are they really awesome to meet and get to know. They've been, well, he pastored for 30 years and went on mission trips here and there, but now him and Nan, all they do is go on mission trips. They go to Australia, they go to New Guinea, where we met Jim Parlier and Jackie earlier this year. They go and help out in the Bible school they've set up in Papua New Guinea. They go to all over the world, places you wouldn't want to be, in Korea and parts of Asia you're not really supposed to go. Africa, they're headed right now, or in the next couple of weeks, to Peru. And after that, in September, they're going to Zambia, where they're going to have to walk 50 miles to get to the village that they're going to teach in. And they're awesome to get to know. Gene came into our cabin one of the nights in the boys' cabin and kind of told us his testimony that when he was 15 or 16 years old, he was going to commit suicide. He was known as Mean Gene, and his dad didn't really love him. The only attention he got was when he acted up, and he was going to lay his head on some railroad tracks and let the train run over him. And as it was coming, he said, "Give it one more shot." And he went and found a Bible and started reading it. And 2 years later is when he actually said he got saved. But since then, he's just had a heart for the Lord. It's amazing to hear all his war stories from being out there and sneaking around in the back alleys of certain countries and things like that. It's really cool. Ranger Horton, he's just quite a guy. He speaks the truth really well, tells you how it is, and you better, live up to it or suffer the consequences. He gave me this coin here. I've showed some of you. It's kind of like the coins we hand out in the hall, but this one's a little heavier. It's gold colored. And this one says, "Thousands died for my freedom. One died for my soul." And it's got an American flag and a cross. And on the back it says Acts 16:31, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you will be saved." So I really cherish that. He's just said, "Every time you pick it up, think of me and pray for me." He's got some family things. We had an answer to prayer while we were there, actually, for his family. He's got a grandson. I'm not sure if it's his son or daughter who it belongs to. His grandson. It's his daughter? His grandson has real family issues. He's 5 years old. And in their house, the parents tell him, "You don't pray to your Jesus here. You don't read your Bible. You don't talk about that stuff." It's just really abusive. And while we were there at camp, they had a court case, and the judge said, "You're not going to have possession of this child anymore." And they're appealing, and there's going to be other court hearings, but it was a real victory for them that they don't have to have their grandson living with these unbelievers that are just tools for the adversary. So that was great. And her name? Lori. Lori's a member of the church. She was out there helping out, being an adult camper. She was a delight to meet. Here's the gang from ABC with Pastor Larry. Obviously, he was there all week. He needs y'all's prayers. His wife's had a health struggle ongoing, really, for the last 7 months. He didn't go into it in too much detail, but it's a real burden. He was able to, keep it on the back burner while he was there, but it's a real burden and a struggle in their life. But it was great just getting to visit with him and talk to him. This guy's name is Bobby Joyner. You may have heard of him. He's a Christian musician. He did a lot of the music with the band they have called the Stadler Band. But he kind of got up there and sang with them. And this is him and Ethan. There's a flagpole in the background. He's got quite a story. he got saved when he was a teenager, but didn't live like it for a long time. And he married a woman that was an unbeliever. And she got saved after years of marriage and started going to Bible studies, and that's how he got back into the Word. But he had a lot of success in his pursuits and just gave it all up. He said, it's not worth anything. Here's Kendall Weeks and Martha. It was delightful. I never met them before. He's just a walking testimony to the grace of God that he's still alive. I'm sure a lot of y'all know his story, just that the doctor said he should have been dead a year and a half ago. And here he is. He enjoyed himself at camp. There's obviously still concerns with his health, with the cancer. But it was good to meet them. Their two children were there. And this little guy's name is Hunter. He professed to be a Christian, but he was quite a little troublemaker. So it was fun to handle him. He was on my activity team with us. Here's Gene preaching at the flagpole in the morning. Like I said, it was a lot of teaching going on, and every morning they made it clear the importance of, you know, how we got our freedom. The price that was paid, you know, the cost, you know, that thousands died for our freedom, you know. Yeah. The price of our earthly freedom was the soldiers that died in battle, and they talked about how the price of our spiritual freedom was the one who died on the cross. It was really neat. Every morning, someone different. Kendall did one. Gary Horton did a couple of them. In the evenings, too. It was great to get all the kids there. They don't hear that in their schools. A lot of them don't hear it at home. So it was a good dose of it for these kids. This fella, his name is Jamie Scoggins, I think. I'm not sure about his last name. But he lives at the Glen Haven Youth Ranch. And just kind of helps out around there. He's from Alabama. It was really delightful to get to know him. He actually has heard of us and has downloaded sessions off the online. So he was excited. He said, they're from Austin? They must go to Austin Bible Church. And so we became friends right away, and it was real neat getting to talk to him. And this guy's name is Jaden. Jaden is one of the 9 campers that got saved while at camp. And that's just awesome. Here we have Seth Jacobs, his wife Karina, their 8-week-old baby, Seth's sister Jenna. Karina wasn't at camp all week. She showed up on Thursday. And Sean was in the same unit as Seth in Iraq. They were both Marines, and they've been back for about a year. Seth has his heart set, and so does Sean, on being missionaries. Seth wants to set up a training facility in Arizona to send people into the mission field. So you can pray for him in that, and obviously for their newborn. Karina was gracious enough to play the piano for Ethan and me. On Thursday night, we had a talent night, and we sang Be Thou My Vision. And she showed up the day of the talent night and was able to play for us. We were going to sing a cappella, which was going to be quite a challenge, but it was really great to have her there. Jenna's a school teacher at a Christian private school, and has been going through examinations and stuff to advance in that. Here's me preparing for some awesome games of dodgeball. This young lady over here, she was in Fallon's cabin. Her name is slipping my mind now. Juliana. She has a real heart for the Lord. She was one of my activity team members. All these young ladies are. Juliana sang at the talent contest and had a, well, it wasn't really a contest, talent show, and had a dance, but she really has a heart for the Lord, and Fallon was able to encourage her to do her performance. She was kind of afraid to, a little skittish, but Fallon was able to encourage her, and she sang a song really well. It was delightful just to meet her and just see a young person that wants a true relationship with God and not just a phony one over here. You kind of see that in a lot of the kids that, yeah, they're believers, but God's over here in a box and they live their life how they want. So it was neat to meet her. And here's Jamie. The second day, we didn't see a video from it, but this is one of the games we had to play. They called it the water game. We had to all sit in the line in our team. None of us could turn to the left or to the right. The person in front had a bucket full of water, and we all had Dixie cups, and the person in the back had an empty bucket. And we had to get the water from the full bucket to the empty bucket without turning or talking or anything. And so, meanwhile, they had distractors. Fallon was a distractor, and some of the other adult campers were distractors running around. This is the second session, I believe, because in the first group, they had two groups of us come in and do the water game at a time. The first group, they were kind of easy on us. They were kind of yelling at us and barking a little bit. Jamie actually kicked me with a soccer ball once by accident. But the second group, they were running around, jumping over them, and it was a lot harder on the second group that went in and did it. But it was a good game. They said that, you know, in doing the Christian way of, in living the Christian way of life, it takes focus and concentration, but there's all kinds of distractions. So that was their design behind the game. It was a lot of fun. On the last night, the last true night of camp, we had some more activity games to play in the evening. This is me wrapping one of my team players in toilet paper in a mummy-making contest. Unfortunately, we did not win, although I came in second for quality, if that counts for anything. This guy came in first. They did pretty well. These people ran out of toilet paper first, but didn't really do too good of a job there. So we had a lot of fun. You don't know these guys, but you may know their grandfather. These are the grandsons, or two of the grandsons, of Pastor John Hintz. Casey was in my cabin, and Aaron was too young for my cabin. He was in the cabin next door. But they're both believers. It was neat to get to know them. And Pastor Hintz was there, so it was neat getting to talk to him. He's a real crack-up kind of guy. So it was neat. I got a picture of them. What else do I have here? Here's the portrait we all took on the last day. We had about a good chunk over 100 people at the campgrounds. Where we played dodgeball, this structure, they're building a gymnasium. Obviously, they're not finished, but that's what that is out there. It's not just a playground. And this is on the drive back into town through the desert when we got back out of the mountains. Wanted to take one picture with some cactus or something. So that's it. Every day we had a flag raising ceremony. There was teaching there. We had our games to play. Then there was more teaching. Then they fed us lunch and said, y'all have 3 hours to do whatever you want. They had all kinds of activities. They had paintball. They had BB guns, archery, crafts you could do. Fallon ran the craft house where you could make T-shirts or tote bags with little crafty paints. That slide rock thing y'all saw a video of. There was also a jump rock, which was a little bit of a drive off a site, and a hike. You hike down about a mile. It was a pretty long hike, but you get there, it's this canyon, and there's this cascading waterfall. You can go jumping, you know, 20, 25 feet into the water. It was pretty fun, and it was this really great camp. It was neat to be a part of. It was amazing to be there to experience. One of my campers that was in my cabin on the first night, every evening when we were kind of winding things down, we had devotional time with the counselors and the campers. And on the first night, Doug, who's from Pennsylvania, he's been to all the camps this year. He's been kind of traveling with the band, I think. We were talking, I was asking everybody, because I didn't know everyone in my cabin, if they were saved. And everyone, except for one, professed Christ, and he got saved the very next day. But after that, after the ones that, you know, said, yeah, we're believers, I said, well, hey, guys, since y'all are older and you're believers, do you think you can lead some of these younger campers to Christ if one of them came up and asked you or you had the opportunity? And one of them said, well, you know, can you tell me about that? And so we sat and talked about it a little bit in a group. And then later on, when everyone was kind of hitting the sack, talked about it some more with the other counselor. And the very next day, he led one of the young people named Skyler to Christ. It was really, really awesome just to be a part of that. Ephesians 4:11, equipping the saints for the work of service. Yeah. Overall, I would say, let's do it again next year and send more people. We're about out of time. Does anyone have questions? Luke? I forgot to ask about that. Anyone else? John?
Some of the kids that were there that weren't believers that were saved there, how did they happen to come to the camp? Were they invited by friends?
A lot of the young people from the church invited people they knew from school and different places. Pastor Hoffman invited three kids from his neighborhood. There's a variety of ways people found out about it. There were some kids from all different parts of Arizona. I'm not exactly sure how they all got to know about the camp, but word got out somehow. And it's been growing. They've been doing it at the same campgrounds for 3 years, and each time it's almost doubled in size. So people are having fun and learning about the Lord. It's getting around. In the back? I know the pastor in the church in Iowa... that was doing it. Was it Larry when he was there? He moved to Arizona, and I think after that is when they stopped doing it. Sid?
What was it that got saved? Were they invited by friends, or were they kids that were actually attending church?
I didn't know all of their backgrounds. I talked to one of them personally right after he had accepted Christ. He said, "Hey, guess what?" I said, "What, Skyler?" He said, "I just accepted Christ." I was like, "Oh, awesome." So I talked to him about it, kind of followed up with him. But I don't know all the kids' backgrounds. I would hope that most of the kids that go to the West Side have been getting a dose of the gospel since they were very young, but I don't know all their stories. I think we're pretty much out of time. If y'all don't mind, I'll close this with a prayer. Father, we're just thankful for this opportunity we've had to share, to be a part of this ministry. And we pray for those who are serving still in Pennsylvania, ministering to the young people of this country. And pray for the glorious gospel of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ to go forth powerfully through the people that are involved there. In Christ's name I pray.